The Bible records many of Jesus' healings, although they are probably only a fraction of the total he performed. Each has their own peculiar aspects. And today I want to look at one that is particularly unique and contemplate what it is teaching us. The story is found in the book of Mark, chapter 8. Mark, chapter 8. And we will begin with verse 22. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. So this is the story that we will be centering around today. Soon after arriving in Bethsaida via boat, some local people brought a blind man to him. We're not told whose idea this was. Did the blind man ask to be taken to Jesus? Perhaps his friends arranged it. In any case, his friends seem to have played a significant role in the sense that they were the ones who implored Jesus to heal him. The story is only found in the book of Mark, as is the previous healing at the end of chapter 7. And we'll be referring to that one as well, as there are some very interesting parallels. So if we go back to Mark 7 and verse 32, if you're lucky, it's on the same page as it is in my Bible, otherwise you'll flip back and forth. Verse 32, then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. In both cases, the men were brought by friends who begged Jesus to heal him. Notice the next verses in each story. Assuming you're still in chapter 7, let's read that one first. Verse 33, and he took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers in his ears, and spat and touched his tongue. Compare that to chapter 8, verse 23. So he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. In both cases, Mark records that Jesus took the men aside, away from the main crowd or even out of town. Why? One reason may have been that he did not want to cause more attention to himself than need be, as things were heating up in his last year of ministry. Perhaps more likely, it may have been concern for the patients. In any case, once they were relatively alone, I'm not excluding the idea that the disciples or the friends who brought him may have gone along with them as they went aside, but he performed some interesting actions involving his spit and hands. In the one case, he put his fingers in the man's ears and spat and touched his tongue. In the other, he spit on his eyes and touched him. Once again, it may have been concern for the patient. Doing these actions may have helped show the men what was going to take place, perhaps strengthening their faith. What happens next, though, is a little bit different in the two stories. Mark 7:34 says, then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Immediately his ears were opened and the impediment of his tongue was loosed and he spoke plainly. For the blind man, we get something unique among Jesus' recorded miracles. He asked him if he saw anything. Verse 24, he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. And then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. This miracle was performed in two stages. Why might that be? Well, as with much of Scripture, the reasons aren't always clear. I think sometimes the Bible is written that way so we would have the possibility of learning multiple things from a passage. It seems obvious that Jesus anticipated the man would not see clearly at first, otherwise he would not have bothered asking for an update. So Jesus, you know, is in complete control, and he knew just how the miracle would take place. Sight is something we who have had it all our lives can take for granted, at least until we begin to lose it. But there are two aspects to a sense, in this case, the sense of sight. The eyes have to be able to detect the images before them, but the brain has to impart comprehension by interpreting what it sees. Medical science has been able to restore sight to some people who have lost it. If they have been sightless for a long time, their brain has lost its ability to make an accurate analysis of what they are seeing. They'll have to go through therapy to learn all over again how to interpret visual signals. Some feel this is what was happening to this blind man. Jesus first restored his ability to see, then he restored his ability to understand what he saw. Did Jesus have to heal in two stages? Well, obviously not. In John 9, he heals a man born blind by sending him to wash in the pool of Siloam. The man was given sight and comprehension at the same time, in spite of never having seen anything in his life without Jesus even being present. Others dismiss the idea that this represents the two aspects of sensory perception and take a more straightforward, simplistic approach that the blind man just wasn't able to see clearly yet, after the first portion of the miracle. And this provides us with an interesting spiritual analogy. We're going to come back here to Mark 8, but in Mark 4, we have another interesting occurrence. In Mark 4, verse 10, Jesus has been giving parables. And it says, when he was alone, Mark 4, 10, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Blindness is a symbol used frequently in Scripture, as is deafness and other ailments. They are not always literal, and even when they are literal, it is often symbolic. As we see in Mark 4, God does not want to cure everyone's spiritual blindness and deafness at this time, but he is working with some. Let's go back now to the healing in Mark 8. The first thing Jesus did with the blind man was take him out of the town. God took Israel out of Egypt. He calls us out of the world. As with the physical actions with the blind man and the deaf man before him, he gave the Israelites symbols and rituals. For the Israelites, this involved the sacrificial system. But we too have symbols like baptism, the New Testament Passover, the Holy Days. And then God begins to open our eyes further. He gave the Israelites his law. He gave us his law and his spirit. Unlike those around us, we are beginning to see clearly. Most of the Israelites never did get it. But there will come a time when God will complete the miracle and we will all see clearly. This healing is in the context of several other events involving Jesus' disciples. Immediately before this, if you back up to verse 15, Jesus told his disciples, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. So they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? So here in the midst of these two healings, one of deafness and one of blindness, he makes reference to this idea of not being able to see or hear properly. Verse 19, when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said to him, 12. And when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. So he said to them, how is it you do not understand? The disciples didn't get it at first. It took further instruction for them to figure out the symbolism. Mark never does tell us if they figured it out, but Matthew records that they did finally understand that he was referring to the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. If we continue reading after the healing of the blind man, we notice this in verse 27 of Mark 8. Now Jesus and his disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road he asked his disciples, saying to them, who do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ. Unlike the rest of the people, they understood who he was. But did they really? In verse 30, if we continue reading here, it says, then he charged them that they should tell no one about him, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. Understanding doesn't always come at once. We do not know everything. And we've probably all run into some who thought they did know everything, just as Peter thought he did. But the more we learn to mind the things of God rather than the things of man, the more we will see clearly the things of God. As Paul said at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. God is in the process of healing our spiritual blindness. And we can rest assured that he will complete that miracle in us when we will all see clearly, just as he did with that blind man.